Good morning, Texas. Here we are, program number 7. I certainly hope there are some folks out there for the first time. I hope there are folks out there from the second time. This is your third time, fourth time. And maybe some of you diehards who heard us the first day and you're staying with us. I hope my sound's getting better. I got the right microphone on today. And I hope you're enjoying the music and can sing along with it. In the next couple of days, I think I'll be putting up some small notes to go along with the program so you can go back and you can check the names of those hymns in case you don't remember the titles and look them up and sing along. Or if you want to check out the references, the scripture references we look to for that program, I'll have them listed for you. But there's nothing better than taking notes as we go. So let's get into this one this morning. We are going to look at something, probably a couple different things here this morning. It's the phrase, born again. Uh-oh. I know, just bear with me on this one here this morning. Since I was, many years ago, since I was younger, any time in the past is when I was younger, I remember hearing the phrase, born again. And I used to claim that phrase all the time. And I come to realize in my scripture studies and being a pastor and preaching this and that and whatever, I started to notice that it started off as being born again. That was the Bible crowd, Bible-believing kind of crowd. And then more and more different denominations began picking up that phrase, born again. And then I noticed that the biggest one of the bunch, the Catholics, started using the phrase born again. Each one of those denominational things had different ways of whatever it is to be born again. One is to become a member. You're born again of the church. The Catholics, that's, you're a member of the church, so you're born. Everybody uses that in their own little way. So would God be that open to everybody using a phrase that anybody could define in their own different fashion? No, I didn't believe so at the time. I thought, something's wrong here. Everybody's now using born again. Just like bunny trail time, just like everybody says they're a Christian now. What is it that makes a Christian? Well, what is it that makes you born again? Well, let's kind of narrow this thing down and pin this thing down. Let me show you something that is only concludable through a King James Bible, and it must be rightly divided, meaning the Gospels teachings of Jesus were to the Jews, not to us today. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John was written by John, who wrote the Gospel John, so that's not written to us today. It's all there for us, don't get me wrong, but it's not there to us. That stuff in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, that's to the tribulational days. Okay, that's a generalized thing. Let me show you something here this morning that I think you might find interesting, unless you've already turned off the radio, says, I'm not going to listen to this guy. He's going to attack me and born again. Let's just tighten this thing down to a salvation and see really what is going on here. Let's start with Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, first of all. And here's something that I don't think many people realize. I didn't. Okay, I'm not being judgmental. So many people don't know what I know now. No, I used to not know this stuff. And I started to read my Bible for myself, and I recognize some things that are absolutely fantastic. This is the goodness of God in action here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a fantastic description of what we were, or people are, before they're saved. If they want to use born again, whatever at this point. Saved, okay? If you're not saved, you're lost. Put it that way. Now, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, there we are, see, attached to the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's reference to the Jews. Circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's that circumcision operation. and we were called uncircumcision. That's the Gentiles. Okay, that at that time ye were without Christ. Okay, somebody who is not saved is without Christ, but there's more. They're not just lost and going to hell. Listen to this. This is fantastic. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now there's definition of being lost. It isn't just lost and going to hell. People just kind of chuckle at that, go, whatever. But listen, they're without Christ. And you're without Christ. You're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You're strangers from the covenants of promise. You have no hope, and you are without God in the world. But now, see, but now. Remember, Paul has gone to the Gentiles. Paul is the man taking this stuff to the Gentiles. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. None of those guys. Paul, not Peter. Paul. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we can go more into that section right there. But I want to stop there. I want to go back to this born-again phrase. Okay, now, I really encourage you to read the rest of chapter 2 of Ephesians, by the way, in the King James Bible. You won't find it anywhere else like this. It's absolutely spectacular. Okay, let's go to John chapter 3. This is where people go because they want to preach a salvation. Well, it says right here, Nicodemus, you know the whole story of Nicodemus. And why do people go here? Because everybody, when they think they become a Christian, well, let's study Jesus. Well, of course, let's study the teachings of Jesus. But so we get right into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the teachings of Jesus were to the Jews. They weren't to the Gentiles. Like I said, even back in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments weren't to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 2 tells us that those Gentiles were judged by their conscience, by the way. But the Jews, the Israelites, had the law. They had these commandments. So here we are in the Gospels. People are going to John chapter 3. John's a fantastic book about Jesus. Oh, fantastic, who he is and what he's done. But the teachings, we are to follow the risen Christ's teachings. Everybody says they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. So why do people so ignore the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul in the King James Bible? Rightly dividing, all that is saying we're looking to Paul. To our, the stuff that Paul teaches is to us. That's all we're talking about here. Okay, let's look at this Genesis, John chapter 3 thing here. Okay, I guess we better get to the right page. There we go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, there it is. Now you just watch. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We understand that. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So this needs to be a spiritual salvation, a spiritual operation. Colossians chapter 2. Remember that if you were here before. Then here's the verse. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, one of the biggest complaints about a King James Bible, so they say, is, oh, I just don't understand the these and the nows and the yeas and the yees and all that. So they get rid of them. They put the word you in there. That is an extremely important and simple fact. Here's how this is defined. If it begins with T, it's singular. If it begins with Y, it's plural. Now, how do you know if somebody's referring, when they say the word you, How do you know if you're talking about the individual person or the group of people? In the Bible, King James, of course, is very defined. He, singular, ye is plural. Okay, let's, with that in mind, look at verse 7 again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he, singular, Nicodemus. He's telling Nicodemus, ye, plural, that's Israel. It's the entire nation of Israel, must be born again. Well, when was Israel ever born? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Let's go back to Genesis 12. Verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. By the way, that is not in action today, so don't. We'll talk about it another day. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Everybody thinks that we should be, you know, blessing Israel today, and so then Romans chapter 11 will fix that. We'll talk about that another day. No, Israel is not our enemy. But anyway, back on the trail. So there's where the nation of Israel is born. So now you go through the Old Testament, which is still written there for us, we learn that the nation of Israel fell apart. I mean, they just crumbled. Adulterated from God is what happened there. So Jesus is telling the Nicodemus that ye, Israel, must be born again. You're not talking to us. That is not a proper phrase for us to use. Now, if you want to use it and you think, well, what difference does it make? It means that I'm saved. Well, it doesn't. But, you know, whatever. But then you're going to be sending people back to John chapter 3 to learn about doctrine written to us, and it's not to us. So it actually, you can cause people to stumble by shipping them off to the born again phrase. Now, before we go any further, before we get all tightened here, let's go to 1 John. Okay, now 1 John, tribulation, okay, verse 1, which everybody loves these verses. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Okay, so there we go. But this is tribulation. So if we go over here to verse 8. Let's go to verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So, since you've been saved, or born again, as you want to say, have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever sinned? Well, yeah, but I confessed it. No, that's not what it's saying here. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not sin. It's just that simple. You cannot sin. In fact, you go down to verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life. Wow, really? How about verse 10? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow. Look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Really? Do you always do that? Come on now. Okay, so here's my point. We're using an improper phrase when we say born again. Well, okay, so you made your point. That makes sense. Okay, I guess I can go along with that. So what do we say? We're just saved? Well, there's something, remember I said, there's something that actually takes place at the moment of your salvation. You know, we've got that operation made without hands. That's a spiritual operation, spiritual circumcision. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Here's the word. You want to say to somebody you're saved? Paul uses the word saved. That's okay. Say, I'm saved. Sure, that's fine. But I like this one in verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Quickened means to be made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. So before a person is saved, he's dead in trespasses and sins. Is he born again? Well, if he'd be born again, he would be born dead again, really, if you think about it. No, he makes us alive. He makes us free, which we have heard said. Look at verse 5, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive. He has made us alive. Go to Colossians chapter 2, just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. I'm sorry. See, I did it again. I always get the wrong reference. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. There we go. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, and then that brings all the other stuff I've talked to the last couple days about Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For there is no sin, there is no... All these verses, these are just fantastic things. You put them all together. And you find out you're not born again. That is an improper reference referring to the Jews, to Israel. The nation, when Jesus was on the earth, he came down, he was going to fulfill the law, and he was going to teach the Jews what he wanted the Jews to do. And they had to follow that law, they had to follow their righteousness. And so they said, Israel, Nicodemus, you go tell Israel, ye must be born again. That's all this is. And the tribulation, being born of God, is going to be referring to the same thing. Now, to us as Gentiles, now called the Church of God, not the denominational Church of God, but just the phrase Church of God, we are quickened. Because if according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were not only lost, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God. So now in Christ Jesus, we are made nigh. He quickens us. He makes us alive. Isn't that fabulous stuff? So if we're actually made, we're quickened, it isn't something that he can undo. For those who still think you can lose your salvation. We've been quickened. We've been made, not just reborn, we've been quickened. And we need to use the proper terms, the proper scriptures, and refer people to the proper books to get the truth, the proper truth, for that which was written to us. Okay, so let's go into a different one this morning. Thus endeth that little subject. We still got a few minutes here. Let's look at the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, this is the only Bible you will find this in. All I'm really going to do is I'm just going to read some scriptures to you, and you're just going to realize something that you've probably never thought of before. But we are living by the faith of Jesus Christ, not by my faith. And this will be self-explanatory. Listen to these scriptures. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That's Romans. That's Romans. This is Paul talking to us now. This is what the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us. So some people don't believe. Shall that unbelief make what without effect? The faith of, not faith in God, but the faith of God. That word of has been of there for over 400 years. Why are they changing that word? Romans 3:22. Listen to this, is a fantastic verse. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. You know, people like to ask you, well, have you received the Spirit of God? Can you speak in tongues? What do you receive? Have you received Christ? You know what you receive when you receive Christ? You receive the faith of Christ. You want to ask somebody a question, have you received the faith of Christ? What are you talking about? Well, when you put your faith in Christ, you receive His faith. You're just not receiving Jesus, you're receiving His faith. So watered down. Have you received Jesus? Let's be very specific. Have you received the faith of Christ? Well, my Bible doesn't say that. Well, get the Bible that does. Get the Bible that has been around 400 years and still hasn't changed and is not it's not antiquated at all. It makes total sense if it's rightly divided. Even the righteousness of God, which by the way in Romans chapter 4 is imputed to us, okay, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See, we're not justified because our faith is in Christ. We're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. I bet you your Bible says in Christ on all three of those places, by the way. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That we know. But did you know that you were justified by the faith of Christ because you have your faith in Christ? Look at verse 20, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning we're in our bodies, not just attached to the flesh, because we know Paul teaches we're not attached to the flesh. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'll bet you your Bible says faith in Son of... No, it's by the faith of Son of God. Of the Son of God. Galatians 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you have actually received His faith. And it's not my faith that's getting me through the day. It's His faith. My faith comes and goes. Doesn't your faith come and go? Maybe it's strong for quite a while, but then something happens, you know. Oh, how can this happen to me? I thought I was a good Christian. I thought I was doing well. Da-da-da-da. I've got good faith. And after a while, you kind of lose your faith. Well, it's not your faith. God's keeping you on. It's His faith. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Which takes us back to Romans 3:22, where it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, back to the circumcision section there, spiritual circumcision we call it, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So that operation is an operation based on faith. Whose faith? His faith. We put our faith in Christ. We receive the faith of Christ. By the way, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. What do you suppose the sword is that does the operation? Well, verse 17, chapter 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. The sword is the Word of God. You mean the Word of God is the sword that separates us from our flesh, and we receive the faith of Christ because of the Word of God being the sword? Yes. Do you have the Word of God? Do you have the Word of truth? Do you really have the sword? Marvelous stuff, isn't it? Just absolutely marvelous stuff. Well, there you go for today. We looked at the phrase born again. We looked at the faith of Christ. Marvelous stuff. Now, in the future programs, real soon, we're going to be looking at, I think it's number five, strings attached to our liberty. We have liberty in Christ. And we'll talk about those five strings. Does that mean that you can lose your salvation? No, it just, the works that we're to do to please God will be based on Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul's teaching. What are five things that we could do that would quench and grieve the Spirit of God in the process of having this liberty? Is this a bunch of bondage and rules? No, not at all. But there are some things that could be done that could quench and grieve the Spirit of God. We'll talk about those. Then how about the judgments of God? We'll talk about those probably this week. You've got two judgments, one for the Christian, one for the lost. How do they come about? How do you define what's going on here? Well, we got 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we got Revelation, okay? So let's look at those. Wouldn't that be just an awful thing for somebody to think that they really are born again, they really are a Christian, and then they find out at their death that they're not? See, now remember, in Ezekiel and Isaiah, the devil's trying to be, he wants to be an imitator, he wants to imitate God, he wants to be God, he's an imitator. So he's got to get churches to be imitation churches. Pastors, imitation pastors come up with imitation gospel, preaching an imitation gospel comes up with imitation Christians. Really? Well, you know, something to think about. So we got two, which we'll talk about, we got two judgments of God. And then here's a question I think a lot of Christians are asking today, especially young Christians, especially kids who hear us praying and singing as parents. They hear us singing and praying and crying at altars and asking for this and pastors putting the guilt trip on everybody, all this kind of stuff that's going on. And things happen in the families and their homes. And these kids think, where is God today? And you hear people saying, well, this is the judgment of God. Katrina was the judgment of God on America and all these kind of things. These are horrible things that have happened to our country that never did happen before. But we've got a lot of terrible things that have happened in this world. And look at what's going on in America today. Look at the morals. Look at the perversions that are taking precedent over a moral standard of life. What is going on? Where is God during this stuff? Where is his judgment? We'll talk about that too right away. Don't forget, this is the dispensation of grace. And I will say this, dispensation of grace applies to Christians and to the lost. And we'll explain that. I probably should explain that tomorrow by saying what I just said. We'll see what goes on tomorrow. So folks, I hope you enjoyed these two cups of goodnesses this morning. And we will talk to you. I got to quit saying we will see you. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning. 8:30. Thank you very much for being there. I hope you're learning some stuff. I'll bet you're kind of shaking your head like, boy, I've never heard this stuff before. It's been around for 400 years. It just isn't being taught anymore. That's all. No, I'm not 400 years old. I'm talking about the King James Bible 400 years. I have only been here for 64, which is long enough. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.